Thank God it's Free Range. You are listening to Free Range Radio Friday with your host, Michael Elves. Pour yourself a beverage and turn up the volume, because here on 101.5 UMFM, the weekend starts now.
To be back. Damn, it feels good to be black. They keep on killing us, we just keep killing it. Mama said killing is not where the ailing is. Couldn't speak back. Lord knows she's been through it. She said a human is not who the villain is. She said it's fear, it's greed, and it's pride. You see it inside. That's what the system is built on, and what it instills in us. God, I've been feeling this vibe. Honestly, the haters can hate. Just let the creators create, and let the creator be judge. I mean, too many mistakes to begrudge. And besides, all of us lost without love. Maybe some never get woke, or tired of staying awake, or party all night then distraught at the state of the day. But what do you make of this way that I'm walking, this path that I'm on? You made a way for me, hope that my map isn't wrong. Nowadays my legs is weak, what if my staff isn't strong? What if it breaks? Who got me? You got me. I know that you got me good.
Get it, got it, good.
Get it, got it. Get it, got it, good. Get it, got it, good. Get it, woo! Got it, good. Get it, got it, yeah. Good. Get it, got it.
I'm talking
good.
About ways. Talking about ways we can elevate. Stepping up, staring, we escalate. Don't try to separate, we'll get together and celebrate. I can do everything, I just don't hesitate. I can do anything.
Allow me to demonstrate.
I just can't wait, I just cannot be me. I just can't go back and copy me. I just cannot be free, I just can't possibly. Lessons on lessons, legends on legends on legends. Little black boy with a poem that he showed to the reverend. Jesus saw Judas and ran up to hug the young brother, a dog at the other 11. Like, why is this traitor in heaven? He said it's hell on earth, anywhere love isn't present. Wherever he goes, we go together, my brother. You get it?
UMFM. This is, thank God it's Free Range, the Friday edition of Free Range Radio. I'm Michael Elson, kicking things off for us tonight. A brand new single from Shad. After the hiatus when he left Q, he is back with some new material. Full length still to come, but that was The Fool, part one. Get it, got it, good. And boy, I'm excited that one landed in my inbox yesterday. We have got a busy show for you tonight. We're going to replay the interview I did last week with Ed DeRoche from Apollo Suns right off the hop, because they are playing the Cavern tonight, kicking off their Western Canada tour. We're also going to be talking to Holloway Jones from the Toronto band Baby Cages, who come to town in just over a week and have a great EP out. And we got all sorts of new music for you, including this next one from Raylan Baxter, who, if you follow Paste on Facebook, did a great live session earlier this week. The new album is called Wide Awake, out on ATO Records, and we are going to hear my favorite tune from the record. It is called Everything to Me. Keep it locked here on 101.5 UMFM.
something about me, but I don't know where to start. You were the first one to hold me the right way, for that I'm owing you my heart.
Might be Folkfest weekend, but looking ahead to next weekend, mark your calendar for Friday the 13th. That's July 13th at the Cavern when Apollo Suns kick off their Western Canada tour. Joining me from the band, Ed Droshe. How's it going, man?
It's going good. Yeah, just getting ready for the big tour out west, and yeah, looking forward to a hometown show. It's been, God, early May we played Winnipeg, and then we've been on the road for about a month out east. So yeah, I'm looking forward to playing for the hometown crowd.
So the Eastern swing, what was the highlight or kind of most memorable experience from that one?
Well, the Maritimes, especially, everyone's so great out there, very kind and supportive. We were out there for a week, and we stayed at a couple like Airbnbs that were like right on the ocean, and we had like fresh fish, like caught like the day before type thing. And so that was really nice. There's some really good shows in Halifax, Montreal, Ottawa was great, Windsor. Got to meet a lot of great people, and there's some really cool things going on out east. So it was a lot of fun. It was long, it was like a month, but I got to see a lot of Canada that I've never seen before. And there is It was like different parts were great for like different reasons, you know, and
mm-hmm.
you know, yeah, it's cool.
And looking at this Western, John, it's like about like 2.5 weeks. Is that right? Something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So you've got a couple festival dates, and then some bar shows and stuff like that. In terms of the, like, were you booking this around festivals, or were you just kind of looking to head west because you'd done the Eastern leg?
Yeah. Well, we've done west last year. We did it twice. Maybe like three times if you count like weekend shows in Saskatchewan and Alberta. But it kind of started off, we got booked for two festivals in Nelson and Lake Country. And then it was like, oh, okay, well, I guess we're going to go out west now. So I started building a tour around those two festival dates. And then we got Golden Sound Music Festival, which is amazing because we get to open up for The Wooden Sky and Harpoonist and the Axe Murderer.
Oh, that's a nice bill.
Yeah. We're like one band before them on the main stage. So we're really looking forward to that. And then about a couple months ago, we got into Ness Creek, which is like, I'm really excited. I've heard great things about it. And then the lineup's great. And we get to like do a workshop with this Toronto, like, calypso jazz funk band called Kobo Town. And so when we got those festivals, I just started building bars, like kind of like a bar tour around that, and looking at like summer music series in like BC. So like every municipality does like every Thursday night at the Old Market Square of Kelowna, they do shows there. So we've got like those types of things in there as well. It just started working out, and then we've built a really nice community around us in parts of Western Canada, so it came together really fast, which is great, because when you start hitting those places more and more, you make more friends and new fans and contacts and through like promoters and festival buyers and all that stuff. So yeah, so that one came together really fast, and then we're like, well, I guess we're doing that now. So it's like a whole other thing for us to like be anchoring a tour on like four festivals, which is great.
I was just having a quick look at the Ness Creek lineup. You should definitely check out the Garys if you overlap with them while they're there. That's a great band.
Yeah, they're from Regina, right?
I think Saskatoon.
Oh, sweet. Okay, cool. Yeah.
They're definitely a Saskatchewan band.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, I think we're getting there like Friday at like 2:00 because we play Regina on the Thursday. And then, Ness Creek is like feeding us and whatnot. And like we get to have dinner, which is amazing. When you start getting into like bigger festivals, they like, they like give you accommodations and all that stuff. But so we definitely have time to like check out bands, so hopefully we do get to see the Garys, because Saturday we have to play this like workshop and then drive from Big River all the way to Calgary. I think we're pretty much just going to our show immediately and like setting up in Calgary. So yeah, that's gonna be a long day for sure.
No doubt. So we syndicate a show out of the States called Modern Jazz Today here, and they've played the record several times. And I'm curious about, if you've grown your audience or kind of like had people who've come at you from something like jazz that wouldn't necessarily be, prog rock, bar rock kind of fans, but are into you from that angle.
Oh, yeah. I guess we're like kind of moving away from the bar rock, although I feel that we can put on a really good show still, and like we're definitely, I think, well equipped to like go from like, like a couple shows on the West Coast tour are like in more kind of jazz clubs, which is like great because most of the band are like U of M jazz students, so we can kind of cater our set to that. But then modern jazz really just like picked it up, and pretty consistently we're getting played on there. And I've chatted with, I can't remember his name, but I've like chatted with him a couple times, and they've been really supportive. So yeah, so we've had people come become fans of the band through that, and it's really helping us meet people in like the U.S. as well, because we will be going down there next year for quite a bit with the release of a new album. We're working with like a booking agent out of California, so yeah, I mean, it's been great, like, to get picked up by like a really cool program and like that. Yeah, it definitely feels good.
Right, and the fact that, yeah, like it gets broadcast throughout the United States, that certainly gives you a leg up in terms of being on people's radar for bookings.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you mentioned working on a new record. Like, where are things at process-wise?
We had two sessions in February, which gave us 7 songs, and those are mostly mixed, like in between tours and just shows and all that. We've been mixing that. Then we're working on 4 new ones then that we're going to be recording in September. Yeah, so it's coming along. We're going to start releasing little snippets and teasers and a couple of singles in the fall and winter, and then looking at a release for spring, like April-ish, and then we're going to be hitting the road really hard next spring, summer, and fall, and then talking to festivals and locally as well as like some in the U.S. and some in Canada, and I'm feeling really good about the new record. Usually when I hear something that I've worked on and recorded, I really don't like it when I first hear it. But when we got the mixes back, I felt like pretty good about it. Like I'll always have like oh God, is this any good? You know, like when. You know, when you're like kind of like judging your work, like really, you know, heavy-handedly, like, you know, you want it to be the best it can be. Mm-hmm. But I actually felt really good about hearing them come back and, you know, like still some work that needs to be done on them. And like, but I think it's going to be a really nice step forward from the first EP to the untitled album that we're working on. So
sonically a continuation of what you guys established on the EP?
It's a continuation, but, there's like a full horn section, a lot more depth and dynamics, you know, like the first EP is pretty like, I don't know how to describe it, but like a lot more like fast paced, you know, like heavy guitar tones and only a couple of horns. Whereas like this next album, there's a couple more like groovier things, quieter moments, but still a lot of like rock energy, but like a lot more grooves in there. And just more dynamics. We're a little bit more mature, I guess. Mm-hmm. And there's like a 9-piece band on it. So we have a couple more writers in there and people throwing in their kind of flavor into the mix. But sonically there are, definitely some parts that like transfer over from the EP to this for sure. Like some really like, so someone said the EP was very like aggressive. And I think there are still definitely some aggressive parts on the new album, but there's also some more quieter, like chill parts, you know, that'll kind of like draw you in, you know?
Yeah. So have you been playing these new songs out live at all yet?
We've been playing, about 3 of the new ones have made it into the, set list, and we're trying them out. And, and then we're going to be introducing a couple more. And I don't know how I kind of feel, but like, should you hold back all new material, or should you start playing it live as soon as you feel that it's good to go, or, you know, like testing it out.
Mm-hmm.
not that I think anyone's gonna like hear a new song and then instantly remember it, be like, oh my god, I heard your new song like 6 months ago and now, like, I don't think that's gonna happen. I don't know. I've talked to different people, or many people, about this, and you know, some people say, yeah, you know, you have a new song, you're into it, and the audience digs it, play it all the time, and others are like, you know, don't give them anything new until it's like ready to go. So I don't know. So, we're playing them live, so why not?
Well, maybe people will get a taste next week at the Cavern. Gonna get you to pick a track off the EP though before we go. And if you have a reason why you're picking it, let me know.
Ooh, I'm always partial to a lesson in sharing. I think the melodies are really nice. It's kind of more of an upbeat one. I think it's a lot of fun. We generally close out most shows with it.
Perfect. Well, Ed, best of luck with the entire tour. The kickoff, of course, the Cavern next Friday night. Jeremy and the Delicious Hounds and After Funk on the bill as well. This is A Lesson in Sharing here on 101.5 UMFM.
love you, love you, love you, love you, to love you. We can light a torch and we can light the way.
All right, well, Baby Cages just released their new album, Bitter Melon, and they are bringing it on the road, coming to Winnipeg July 23rd to play HMS Arlington. Holloway Jones from the band joins me by phone. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. So you're kind of already on the road in support of this record.
Yes.
But only a few shows so far. What's the audience reception to the new material?
Oh, it's been so great and so fun. We've had our launch party in Toronto. We had the videos screening. We had the launch party in Guelph and in Kingston last night. And it's just very exciting. We're also on the road with Dorothea Paz, who has also put out a little tape the same day we released Bitter Melon. And we're just both so excited that people have been receiving everything positively, and we're happy.
Was that by design that Dorothy Paz would have a release at the same time, or is that just serendipity? Or
well, when we wanted to go on tour, she's in Baby Cages, so we were talking about what she's going to sell as merch, and I was like, you should just make a tape. And then, I mean, I guess the day before we left for tour was a good enough day to release something.
Sure, yeah. The good jumping off point. So we've played some stuff off Bitter Melon here on the show leading up to the release.
Amazing. Thank you.
There any particular song that's resonating with people? I know that you guys did a video, but sometimes that doesn't, the song that you guys pick isn't necessarily the song that fans glom onto.
Yes. I agree. So our first single was Gold, which is sort of the darkest song on the album. It's the heaviest.
Mm-hmm.
And then our second single was Polly, which was the lightest, easiest, breeziest song on the album. It's very gentle. There's a lot of vibraphone and vocal harmonies, very simple chord progression. And my favorite, which people tell me all the time is their favorite, is Flowers.
That's the one I played. So that makes sense.
Amazing. You got good taste. No, I like them all. But Flowers is, I think, a little bit krautrock influence. It's very upbeat. It's very exciting. And I think with the next record, I kind of want to go more full force into kind of fun tunes. A little bit of a bop.
So with the next record, there's already plans afoot for that?
Oh, yeah. I don't sit still.
Right. As far as songwriting goes for you, are you constantly writing?
I am constantly writing down little phrases, or I start with the words. So I kind of have I'm also a visual artist. So I have little books full of drawings and words. And then eventually it's pulling teeth. I'll force myself to put something on the guitar. Mm. and then months later, I'll bring it to my band when it feels like a solid song and see what they have to say.
When you say force yourself to put it on to the guitar, at what point, what's the sort of tipping point that you're okay, this needs to be a word that I need to marry with a guitar line?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think, same thing with painting, with any kind of creative project. Eventually, you just have to accept that something's done. There's no more you can do, because if you keep going, you're going to take out any personality or anything special about it, anything honest.
Mm.
So I think when I get to the point where I'm if I polish this anymore, I'm going to kill whatever personality it has. That's when I'm okay, it's time to make music happen. So it transfers over.
Is it that same sort of mentality in the studio, when you're recording songs, to kind of know when to just call it and say?
Absolutely, yeah. The second you look around and the engineer is kind of rolling their eyes at you, you're okay, I'm done here. No more tiny tweaks.
Speaking of engineers, is Jose Miguel Contreras mixed and recorded the record?
Yes, he did.
You? How did you end up working with Jose?
Jose, oh my gosh, I feel like we've been friends forever, but that is probably not the case. I've known him since the dawn of time, because he is the most friendly, caring, just generous individual. But I think I met him through other musician friends, Van Hex, who are 17-year-olds. They're unbelievably talented. It blows my mind that they're very young. Maybe not 17. That might be wrong. But they're young. They're very young. And they recorded with him, and I had heard a preview of their album, and I was just blown away by how dense and just rich all the sounds were. And I was like, who did this? And they were like, oh, Jose did it. And also he does it in his backyard. It's like a very immediate process. There's no, not like sitting in a fancy studio and like 3 days later someone calls you and sends you something or what. I don't know how that process works, actually. I've always home recorded, but I was interested in home recording, but a slick home recording. And this kind of seemed like the perfect opportunity. So I reached out. We talked on the phone for a couple hours because he loves to chat. And I was like, oh, this is an amazing fit. And we've been working together probably since last summer.
So when you spoke on the phone, was it like just kind of chatting or was it discussing the record and your vision for it or like?
Yeah, we talked a bit about everything. I mean, I'm sure you can tell I like to talk. So we just had a chat that I kind of outlined. I was like, it's only six songs. We're just going to do. So everything was live off the floor. And then I just overdubbed some vocals and then we overdubbed some vibraphone and a couple other, we had a couple organs, I think, some other keyboards, synths, but everything else is like, those are the drums that we recorded that first day in the studio, the bass we recorded the first day in the studio, most of the guitars. I think I had to overdub a little bit because some of my tuning was bad, which because it was just a very old guitar that is now been replaced. But yeah, just kind of talking about how I wanted it to feel immediate and energetic and very alive. So yeah, we recorded live off the floor and then came back, did some dubs, and that was it.
So in doing the overdubs and stuff like that, obviously, like, you know, kind of obviously for one thing, correct tuning and stuff like that. Are you conscious at all about how much you're able to kind of recreate on the road and, you know, not kind of like reaching a point where the what you're able to do in a studio eclipses what you're able to do as a band?
Oh, absolutely. That's actually an excellent question because, so Jose's computer that he recorded everything on and had all the files on broke down and are now currently at four different repair shops. So we don't have access to our stems. We don't have access to any of the backing tracks that we were going to use on the road because, unfortunately, at this point in our lives, touring with a six-person band was just impossible.
Right.
So we have a pared-down version of the band, which is three people, and we were planning on backing tracks. And when we found out that that wasn't really on the table anymore, we had to kind of recreate the set as three people. And now it's very, very sparse. There's a lot more room to hear so there's two guitar players, myself and Tom Hobson, and we have a lot more room to kind of explore the dynamic between the two guitars, and Dorothea and I sing together, so there's a lot more room for kind of gentle vocal harmonies, like not everything needs to be obvious because there's so much room now. Eventually, I think we will have some kind of backing track, so perhaps by the time we're in Winnipeg. But right now, I'm feeling actually kind of grateful that we get to experience the songs and show people the songs in a very different light. And it's actually been really nice, and people have been super receptive to it.
Is it a surprise for you as a songwriter to kind of recognize the core of your song in a different way and to realize kind of like the room that it has within it?
For sure. Well, I think that I've collaborated with maybe 20 different musicians on these songs before. At one point in time, I was just touring with me and a violin player. I've toured me and another guitar player. I've toured with six people, five people, four people, any kind of group you can imagine have tried these songs out. I've been doing this for a while. And I love collaboration. I think that's at the core of what I'm interested in and why I'm drawn to music. So every time I hear things in a different light, I'm like, oh, wow, these collaborators are so special and they're bringing so much to the project and they're changing the way I interact with the songs. It's very special. So I'm feeling very lucky.
Are you a collaborative visual artist at all? Or is this kind of your outlet for that collaboration? Whereas like the solo pursuit is the visual.
Yeah. The reason I kind of don't pursue visual art that much is because it is so lonely. I don't know if I have the personality to sit in the studio alone all day, every day. When I was in university, it was kind of easier. I went to art school, I went to NASCAD, because you were in this huge studio with all the other students, and you could chat while you were painting or building your sculptures or making your videos. But I think when I left school, I felt like I was punishing myself just then, like a 12-hour day getting ready for a show alone. And it wasn't doing wonders for my mental health. So I kind of started focusing more on music because I was craving social interaction. I was craving feedback. I was craving, just the energy that comes from working with more than one person.
Does it even have to be kind of to do with not necessarily being situated in one place? Like if you're in the studio, you're in the studio. Whereas like if you're a musician, you're in the studio, you're on stage, you're on the road, and that like there's all this variety to your experience?
Absolutely, yes. That is such a perk. I love to be in new places and meeting new people, and the band is always changing. So I learned to work with so many different personalities, and I always, especially with a bigger band, like right now we have 6 people, just seeing all these personalities interact, and it's really special. So yeah, variety absolutely is amazing, of space, of place. It's great.
So on the road, what's the best way to keep tabs on you social media wise? Are you Instagram, Twitter, Facebook?
Ooh,
what's your...
I love it all. I've been lacking with the Twitter, lacking on that. But Instagram, I can't help but update all the time. So yes, Instagram would be the one for sure.
So at Baby Cages is the Instagram.
Yeah, that's the one.
I got to ask about the band name.
Yeah.
What's the genesis of Baby Cages?
Well, the band name was, I had been asked to play, I used to be in a garage rock band called Hind Legs. And it was very, very rock and roll, very, did a lot of screaming and running around. So I wanted to do something more solo, more thoughtful, more in tune with where I was in my life, more expressive, more personal. So I booked myself a solo show. I think it was with Nap Eyes in Halifax. And I was gearing up for that and realizing that I did not have a project name and didn't want to go by my first name or last name or full name. So I think I was feeling a little bit romantically rejected at the time. And I was reading about baby cages, which were these apparatuses that people used to put outside of their windows and put their babies in, because the theory was that to have a healthy baby, it needed to breathe fresh air, and it needed fresh air on its body. You'd air your baby out. So even the White House had them. But it really only lasted a decade in popularity, and very, very quickly, I think safety became a huge concern.
Yeah.
So these super, super popular and beloved things that were, you can still see them on old buildings in New York and all over the place, but they're not really used anymore. But very, very quickly, they went from popular, fashionable baby accessories to incredibly, like, this obsolete thing that was barbaric. So they were taken down from the White House. and I was like, oh, I get it. I get it, baby Cage. Sometimes people want you and sometimes they don't. Very dramatic. So that's kind of where I think that came from. I think I also liked that, you know, there's, like, reproductive connotate illusions. Like women as just carriers for babies. I like that also. Little feminist. I'm babbling.
No, I'm fascinated. Now I Google image search baby cages and found some crazy, crazy photos.
Yeah, they're real. Or they were real.
They were, yeah. Before we let you go, Halloween, I want to get you to pick a track off the record that we can play for listeners. I mean, I know we mentioned a few, but whichever one you want to pick, and if you have a reason why or an anecdote about it, would love to hear that.
That's a good question. I feel like maybe not Flowers, because I've already said I like it so much. Let's do All You Want, because it is the first track on the record, and maybe people will want to hear more if they're like, oh, this is just the beginning.
Yeah, it's the lead off track. I mean, are you very conscientious about kind of like track order and
no,
sort of
not at all. The no. reason we put it that way is actually has more so to do with the videos than the actual songs. we thought the videos looked good in that order. at like 2 a.m. when I put the visual album together before it was supposed to be released. I was like, this is a great time for this.
There's some great decisions that make at that time of night, but sometimes the ones that seem great. But we will go with that one, and we will mark the calendar July 23rd, HMS Arlington. Safe travels in the interim, Holloway, and thanks for taking some time out of your day.
Yeah, great. Really look forward to being in Winnipeg. Thanks for calling.
One day we'll build the things I have seen in my mind. I will remove you beneath my nails without you. And I will we'll
Dilly Dally are back, and we are back here on Thank God It's Free Range. That was I Feel Free, the lead single from the forthcoming record, Heaven. And before that, brand new from Mint Records, Vancouver trio Lie, although there's an accent aigu over the E, so I don't know, maybe it's pronounced Lee. The album's called Hounds, and we heard Country Boys and Baby Cages before that with All You Want from Bitter Melon. They are playing HMS Arlington on the 23rd. Got some more new music for you, a couple Canadian cuts, and then something out of Oakland. Metric are back with a new single called Dark Saturday, just dropped this week. And then out of Montreal, a collaboration between a Congolese and an Indigenous woman, Anaknid and Annie Sama with Now Wow We. And Bell's Atlas, who we've played before, old stuff from her out of Bandcamp. And this is a new single called Be Brave. Keep it locked here on 101.5 UMFM.
I'm not afraid to lleva a nuestros hijos, nos dividen, no puede destruirnos, destruye nuestra tierra, pero nos pararemos, nos levantaremos y vamos a unirnos.
Inside, we pray now when worlds fall. morning sun is a soft reminder, the graceful arc of a kind word, the curvature of your naked body, the song. Thank you.
Thank you.